Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so, as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course. And we can't wait to see you there.
All right. And we're back again, Todd.
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about some goals. Specifically, we're going to talk about strategic goal, Will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, well, if we have no goals, then how do we know what to measure, right?
Yeah, kind of building upon the series that we did when we talked about the KVAs. All for naught if we don't know what we're going towards, right? If we don't know where we may be going. And really that big outer layer, that big, huge, really kind of, let's say, uncertain, really far away goal is a strategic goal.
Absolutely. Shall we go to the mural and go into depth?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to hop us over to the mural here. Goals. And I guess we're starting our series. Everybody remembers we were over at evidence. We're going to hop down into goals starting up here at strategic goal. Let's hop down in here.
All right. So the official definition of strategic goal from the EBM guide is, you know, it's something important that your organization would like to achieve, but it is big and far away. Right. And it is mostly aspirational, right? The path is uncertain, so we have no idea of knowing how to get there, but it does set for us a lighthouse of this is where we want to go. Right? And kind of if we want to refer back to kind of the SMART model, this is not going to be a SMART goal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What it is going to be is specific and measurable.
Yeah. And this is another word I like to use sometimes when I think of that strategic goal, Will, is I think it's okay for it to be altruistic. Oh yeah. Right? This is okay for I think of the company Patagonia when I think of this. I think of it often. Because their overall mission is to save the home planet, right? That's what they have as their overarching thing, to save the home planet. And they do a lot of things. They have a lot of product lines. They have a lot of different goals that are trying to contribute to that. But that is like their end game. That's what they want to do. So they have a lot of recycling they do, the way that they construct their fabrics and such. It's embedded in the culture of their company.
Yeah. So you and I both use the logic model of metrics quite a bit in the classes that we teach and also when we go into explaining metrics. And one of the things we noticed as we looked at strategic goals, not just our own, but also those used in the market, is for them to be effective, they should either be based on an outcome of sorts, so a result for the company or for the company's consumer, or, and we see this in kind of the more teal type organizations like a Patagonia or like a Boots in the Netherlands, where it's much more of an impact measurement. Mm-hmm. right? What's the influence we want to have on the world, right? And how will we know that we've actually achieved it?
Yeah, and so, Will, I think that you're unpacking something here is that first tip of advice that we'd say around strategic goals here is make sure that it's impact and or outcome oriented, right? Has to be impact, ideally impact if you have it, or outcome oriented. How do you like that?
Could you imagine like a strategic goal being we want to ship 50% more product in 5 years time? Like that doesn't inspire you, right? And it also tells you nothing about your actual business performance. It's stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you're making me think of something that I get in a lot of debates with people about, because I don't think a very good strategic goal is to make a lot of money.
Yeah, agree.
Right. If you have a strategic goal that is let's triple our revenue this year, and you have all these other goals feeding into it, I don't think the result that you're expecting is going to be the result that you get, right? I don't view that as a impact or outcome-oriented goal revenue. So let's be very careful with that one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, right? And this is going to sound incredibly snobbish, right? But making money is a side effect.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right? It's an enabler, but it's not a goal in of itself.
It's interesting. You mentioned logic model, Will. I view making money as an output.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Now we could debate that. Perhaps that's a good podcast debate.
Yeah. On the maybe on one of the fixing your agile metrics. Hey, maybe to pull this out of the theoretical space, maybe we should share our own strategic goals.
I'd love to. Yeah. Right. Do you want to start with Agile for Humans, or do you want to start with?
Go for it.
Yeah. So Agile for Humans. What we have is uncovering better ways working together. And this is a little bit vague, but every single thing we do is we're hoping to help people uncover better ways of working together. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean working with us, right? That means uncovering better ways of working together amongst yourselves in an organization. We're not specific. This doesn't say Scrum. This doesn't say Agile. We're kind of agnostic on this, but everything we do, right? We have communities.agile for humans. We have YouTube. We have our Scrum training. We have consulting. We have Kanban. We have workshops. We have all this other stuff. And we feel like everything we do is trying to help turn the needle on people working better together, right? And so that's really, I guess you could say, if there was a different word that we would call this, Will, we would call this our company mission, right? But I view this as our strategic goal.
Yeah. So how do you know you're on route to that? What are your measurables there?
Yeah. So interestingly, one of the things that we measure, you know, I think I mentioned it under the KVAs, is engagement of people. Because we really do truly believe in the products and the things that we do. And so if people are engaging with us, we feel as a side effect of that, they're taking the things that we're putting down, or the conversations that we're having, or the community itself is generating, and they're helping to find better ways of working together. An example of this, right, is we have community.agileforhumans.com, and we want to see member retention. We want to see and understand member contribution. Member contribution is huge. Because if members are contributing, and members are contributing in a positive way, they are very much uncovering better ways of working together, but in a larger landscape rather than specifically in their environment, with the hope that they're taking that into their environment. Because we can't measure what's happening in their environment. We really can't. All we can do is see what we can see and I guess hope that that's turning the needle on what's happening in their organizations, right? What do you think of that, Will?
I like it, especially because it leads you on a road towards co-creation. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that, hey, we're going to be thought leaders in this space and you're all going to follow us and we'll measure success by how much of our stuff you're implementing, but more of, you know, have we enabled you, and do we see through that enablement that you are contributing to building the set of knowledge? It speaks to my open source roots.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we feel the same way with that kind of thing. I mean, how arrogant of a position would it be if it's look at people looking at our stuff? how arrogant of a position to think that we really know better than all. So when we're looking at our dashboard and our KVAs, we're questioning new things that we could do. This is one of the hypotheses that led us to creating the community, right? Looking at our mission and considering where we were at with unrealized value as compared to current value, and kind of finding some things in there led us to creating that as a product. And that's new. We're figuring it out right now.
All right.
How about you, Will?
All right. So this is going to sound a bit morbid, but my strategic goal is to help encourage the death of coaching. And I need to put some context on this. So I'm a big fan of the work of Kahneman and Tversky and the work of Thaler and Sunstein. So the system one, system two thinking and nudges, right? Because I find that the work we do is already very cognitively hard. And so asking people to change the way they work is actually increasing the amount of cognitive load they're under and the amount of stress they're under, right? And this is unfair, especially if you're already in a high pressure environment, right? It increases stress. It makes the world more difficult. It's not respectful to people's times. And so what I see a lot of coaches do, and what I've been guilty of in the past, is I've been really active with people, right? You work with a team, you have them question, why are you doing this? How are you doing this? Experiment with different ways of working. And what I've come to learn is that this is very system two directed, right? But people spend most of their time in system one. They take the path of least cognitive resistance. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see change in an organization, it's not about teaching people to work differently. It's about making it easier for them to show the kind of behavior that is ultimately better for themselves and better for their customers. Right. So when I talk about encouraging the death of coaching, what I want to do, the impact that I want to have with the work that I do and the trainings that I give and the material that I disseminate, is to change organizations or change the approach coaches take, where people that are uncovering better ways of working spend less of their time actually being coached or engaging with trainings, and much more of their time just finding better ways to serve as their customers. Mm-hmm. And what I want coaches to do is to spend less time directly interfacing with people and more time active in the system to just make life easier for people.
I like that. Well, I like that. Yeah. So do you have any way that you're measuring this?
So one of the ways in which I measure it currently in my assignments is when I look at teams that nominally fall within the domain that I'm coaching, what percentage of their time do they actually spend being coached or being trained or being made to question and experiment with new ways of working. Mm-hmm. Right. And if I see that level go down, but I instead see that through changes in the systems, they are embracing new ways of working, not because they're actively choosing to do so, but because it's just simpler for them to deliver faster and to inspect value and to grow in ways they're working, then I know that I'm successful in changing a system for agility instead of changing the people for agility.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. What I'm really interested in, Will, is when we start to get into the next conversation around intermediate goals, how your intermediate goals will relate to that. I'm sure you're probably curious about ours as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I do have one thing I want to ask you about strategic goals, and then I think we're probably buttoning down on this. I hope people are enjoying our examples. It seems like in the comments that's true. It's helping to make this all set in. Strategic goal, and I'm going to ask you this for every single goal type. Is there a time horizon that you think that you could put on this?
Difficult. If you can achieve it next year, I don't know. Like, it could be under ambitious. It could also be that it was just super engaging and you got really lucky. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I'm less concerned with the time span.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel the same way. That's why I asked that, because with a strategic goal, this could just be something that you're always everything you do inside the walls of your organization is another goal that is taking you a step closer to this. So yeah. Less concerned about time here.
Yeah. It's also related to Porter's work on strategy, right? Like, a strategy is so fundamental to the nature of your organization that it shouldn't change very often, if at all. Because to change your strategic goal would be to change the very nature of your organization. Now, of course, when you go into product strategy, that becomes a bit more malleable. But even then, right, given the breadth that we're talking about here, it's a guiding light more than something that needs to be achieved.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Now, in our next episode or lesson, as you want to call it, because this is really a class, right? We're going to talk about intermediate goals. That's a little different, right? We're talking about intermediate goals. It's a little bit different. I think as far as strategic goals, Will, I don't know that I have anything else to add. Do you have anything else you want to throw down before we end it?
I think we covered the majority of it. I think we gave some good examples. If I can give us a collective pat on the back here, and we'll see what the audience makes of it.
Sounds good, Will. All right. Until next time, intermediate goals up next. See you then.
Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!